Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, August 27th, 2012. How's it going? I'm actually recording this Sunday night because I got a bunch of shit to do tomorrow, and I got this burst of energy on Sunday, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take care of all the fucking shit that I'm gonna hate to have to do tomorrow morning. You know, I'm gonna pay the bills. Going to go down to fucking Winchell's and go get a pretzel. You don't give a fuck, right? Who the fuck eats there, by the way? What is Winchell's? Do they make hot dogs? They just make that shit-ass fucking food that fat, pasty white people just can't get enough of. You know? That's how you fucking do it. All these athletes taking the roids, you don't need that. You go down to the food court, Orange Julius. You go to that place that doesn't like the queers. That makes the chicken sandwiches, right? You get some fries from them. I love how that's part of it. You guys have seen that, the Chick-fil-A. They don't like gay people. Chick-fil-A, we don't like the gay. If you're straight, you can eat our fucking burger. If you ain't, you know, then I think you're getting enough meat in your life, buddy. The fuck year are we living in? More importantly, how much fucking money are you making selling chicken that you can get rid of that portion, that amount of people in the population? You know, why the fuck you acting like you're McDonald's Chick-fil-A? You're not. You know, you're not even Popeyes. Forget about KFC, the fucking Babe Ruth Michael Jordan of feeding people unhealthy chicken. You know, that's your goddamn God. That's your fucking Led Zeppelin right there, the chicken industry. Right there. That old fucking plantation owner, that slave. That's how fucking good they are at cooking chicken. They have a goddamn, who looks like a fucking slave owner, straight out of that movie Roots, as their mascot or their spokesperson. You know what I mean? At least Wendy's has that non-threatening sort of fucking fat white guy. You know, who looks like he loves his wife, but probably, you know, steals from the company if he's in the accounting division. Doesn't he? He actually does look. That guy, the guy from Wendy's does not look honest, 100% honest. He looks like a real swell guy who one day the feds would show up and raid his house and grab his hard drive. And then he'd come out weeping and his family would be all stunned at the double life that they weren't aware that he was leading. Doesn't he look like that? Can't you just see his stupid glasses fogging up, you know? And then, of course, he'd get convicted, right? They'd go through all the bullshit. Nancy Grace with her fucking angry Hellboy head would be sitting there, you know? The fucking female Jim Rome, right? Getting all fucking pissed off with flames going behind her. And then what would happen? 8 months later, Bryant Gumbel would show up. Or maybe he'd send that fucking vampire, Grandpa Munster there, Frank Dufort, and they would go and interview the guy, right? The Wendy's guy, and he'd be sitting there in his fucking jumpsuit, you know? You know, like with his pudgy hands just wringing them together. And they'd just be like, where did it all go wrong? I mean, you had to think at some point you were going to get caught, don't you? I mean, what were you thinking? And then he'd just be like, I don't know what I was thinking. Tick, 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 tick. Tonight on 60 Minutes, that fat fuck from Wendy's who you thought was an honest guy, guess now he's a piece of shit. Does that make you feel better about your life, you fucking cunt? Well, why don't you go walk in the mirror and rather than just fucking brush your teeth, you look into it and really think about some of the shit that you've done, you know? And maybe if you fucking had some talent in life, you could have been a piece of shit at that level. Or it'd be worthy of telling your piece of shit stories on 60 Minutes or some other investigative news program. Bill, where the fuck are you going with this? I'll tell you where I'm going with this. Lance Armstrong won that goddamn bike race. He did it 7 times in a fucking row. All right? And now you're telling me he didn't? He did. Our fucking roided up guy beat your roided up guys 7 fucking times in a row. And I don't care how you slice it, how you dice it, whatever the fuck you do, go fuck yourself. They were all doping. Therefore, it's an even playing field. It's like the 2004 fucking Boston Red Sox when they beat the Yankees. Our roided up guys beat your roided up guys. That's level. That's a level playing field. I can't fucking believe those cunts. They just kept coming at them and coming at them. And then finally, everybody fucking cracked. You know? Bunch of goddamn pussies all lining up to fucking rat the guy out. Is there any, like, you know? Wasn't half the fun when you were growing up when the teacher knew you did something but couldn't fucking prove it and knew that you knew who the fuck did it and you just sat there and you wouldn't fucking say shit and you got to watch this person in power be defeated? You know? What the fuck are they going to do to you? Why did these other bike riding jackasses all crumble? What were they threatening you with? I don't fucking get it. Let me ask you this. How the fuck is Lance Armstrong's cheating, but these old roided up guys you see at night, the nighttime that's Synergenics, they're not cheating. They're on fucking HGH. They didn't earn their six pack. How come none of this shit's getting taken away? Go fuck yourself. All right? He won the thing. He won it seven times in a fucking row. I don't give a shit. Barry Bonds hit the most fucking home runs of all time. All right? And he did it. You just say he did it during the roid era. That's all. We're all going to be on him. You know? It's going to happen. No one wants to have a chicken neck. No one wants you to have your fucking tits that you never had before now sliding into your fucking stomach. Your stomach's just a slit, you know? That's how fat you get as you get older. When your fucking navel looks like a fucking ass crack or somebody sleeping on a couch on its side, right? All the way down to your old fucking ball bag. You don't want that. You want to be shredded. Okay, and it's already starting. Old people are taking these fucking things. For what? Because they're trying to make Division I football? No, because they want to look good. Okay? And how do we know how to give it to these people? Because they're heroes like fucking Lance Armstrong all the way back to Lyle Alzado. They put this shit in their fucking bodies. And, you know, those fucking cunts out there in Silicon Valley, they got to watch what happened. Slowly make improvements. I'm telling you. Within 15 years, I guarantee you, there's going to be kids sprinkling HGH onto their fucking cornflakes, wondering why Lance Armstrong wasn't allowed to say that he won that fucking bike race 7 years in a row. I got fucking news for you. If you want to see people not on roids try and ride a bicycle up a fucking mountain for six fucking weeks in a row, whatever the hell it is, you want to see them do that all natural, that's going to be the most boring shit you've ever seen in your life. You might as well watch me do it at that point. My fucking head turning all red. Wheezing, just looking at the mountain. All right? It's some superhero shit. Okay? There's no fucking Santa Claus. It's over. All right? You think this shit's going to end? It's not going to end. We're going to move on to bionic people next. They're literally going to take out the bottom of people's legs below the fucking kneecap, and they're going to put a strut in there, just like they do in a car. You know, and then white people are going to be dunking, and then black people are going to be like, dude, what the fuck? You know, give me some bionic legs. Then you have a fucking Michael Jordan with bionic legs. Yeah, I'm telling you. By 2030, the goddamn backboard in the NBA is going to be up where all those Celtics championship banners are. That's my theory. Give me a fucking break. I was really rooting for that guy. Not that I like cheaters. You can't ride a bike 60 miles an hour up and down a fucking mountain without being on stuff. Why is everybody acting like this is a surprise? And then you just see these fucking douchebag people in the media, right? They all can't fucking wait to jump all over Lance Armstrong's. Why? Because they sucked in gym class. And you know the deal in high school. You don't get any pussy because you got an A in creative writing. All right? And then these fucking little smarty kids, they see these meathead athletes walking around with their fucking abs and their pecs going, oh, fucking give me the ball, right? And they just sit there going, why is she sucking the dick of that fucking moron? And it just, it bugs them. And they can't wait. They can't wait for the day for when one of them gets caught doing something, for them to be fat and coming back to the reunion, you know, and they can be there like, oh, I fucking write for this paper. Huh? And then they go over to that cheerleader who used to be good, now face is all fucking shiny with the Botox, but he still fucking grabs her by her fucking hair at this point, right? You know? He's got that, you know, that you're not an old lady, but you're not a young lady hair, you know, where it starts to be extremely flammable after all the years of highlighting. It's like a fucking goddamn bird's nest, you know? Sort of a dude's haircut at that point, but they added some sort of little flip to it, you know, so it's still technically a feminine haircut, and you're just fucking jamming it down towards your slacks, right? So this is what this douche had to say. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say this at the top of the podcast. This podcast is brought to you. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Please visit audible.com/bill for your free audio book download. Huh? Why would you want to read when someone can read it for you? Why would you want to ride a bike up a damn mountain without having roids injected into you? I don't want to do that. There's a reason why people don't ride a bike to work when they live on the other side of a fucking mountain. All right? Because it hurts your legs. You need something beyond vitamins. How fucking exciting is the Tour de France? Fucking, I love it. I don't care that they're on roids. Give them more fucking roids. Make them go faster. Want to go fast. Make them go fast. I don't give a fuck. All right, so this is what this fucking douchebag wrote. He's sitting there. Blah, 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 blah. He goes, basically, Lance tapped out. All right. He said, I refuse to participate. If he saw this whole, like, basically, ever seen that old show, This Is Your Life? It was just like the game show where everybody you ever knew was going to come walking out, and rather than being like, remember I taught you how to ride a tricycle? It's not going to be that. It's going to be a bunch of old people going, I injected him in his buttocks. And he didn't want to deal with that, which I can't blame him. But I got to admit, they were going after him the way they were going after Michael Jackson, you know? When they said he was fucking touching kids. And I actually read an article one time of some guy wrote, and he was sitting there and actually watched the trial, as opposed to me, who just kind of walked by TVs in the airport and looked at Michael's weird nose and were like, yeah, he did it, right? This guy actually was at the trial, and he said he couldn't believe that it actually went to trial. That's how fucking weak the case was. You know, that being said, I wouldn't leave a fucking bullfrog with that maniac to what his fucking dad did to him, but that's a whole different story. It's probably a bad point. That point actually probably just weakened my fucking argument here. Anyways, this is what this fucking douche who never got picked in gym class wrote. He's saying, at this point, he did, okay, and all his friends are going to come out and basically say that he did do it. You know? Can you stop yelling at me now? Fucking pussies. Armstrong show what the fuck saw what was going to happen. So it's, the guy writes, at that point, he did what he'd never done before. He gave up. The pugnacious Texan continued to proclaim his innocence. But when the time came for him to hear his friends and associates incriminate him and try to refute their accusations, Armstrong said it just wasn't worth the trouble. All right. He says, Armstrong said, I refused to participate in the process that is so one-sided and unfair. Instead, he's going to focus on serving people and families affected by cancer, attempting to be the fittest 40-year-old on the planet. I love that the fact that he did roids somehow negates the fact that he came back from basically you're going to die level cancer and had to leave one ball on the table. You know what I mean? I mean, the fact that he could even sit on a fucking bicycle seat ever again, to me, is pretty fucking amazing. You know? I walk up my fucking stairs and I'm winded. So anyways, the results means he'll be stripped of every medal and title he won going back to August 1998. The exact fucking thing that this nerd writer wants. Take away all his shiny stuff that I don't know how to win. His extraordinary career will be vaporized from the record books. He apparently won't even be allowed to compete in sanctioned triathlons, his recent interest. Blah, 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 blah. And then he adds this shit here. He goes, his most devoted admirers may take his word that he was being railroaded by a vindictive body using unfair tactics. But really, what else could a guilty person say in the face of so much evidence? What evidence? That people were going to say he did it? I don't get how, first of all, what's what the fuck I don't get. They had a hard-on for this guy when he was winning. You know, you should have caught him then. When does the statute of limitations run out on this shit? New evidence suggests. What, did you just find a video of the guy fucking injecting him? I don't know. Anyways, the agency also found that blood tests from 2009 indicated he was doping. None of this is all fucking hearsay at this point, right? His most devoted admirers may take his word that he was being railroaded by a vindictive body using unfair tactics. But really, what else would it go? Blah, blah, blah. The story is a particular shame because Armstrong, who survived the 1996 bout with testicular cancer that had spread to his abdomen and lungs, was such an inspiration to so many cancer victims. He used his fame to found Livestrong, a foundation that provides support to victims of the disease. So what are you telling me now? That people who have cancer are now looking at this guy as if he's still not like a fucking hero? The guy came back from ball cancer that had spread to his abdomen and his lungs and won a fucking the best bike race, the hardest bike race on the planet. He won it 7 years in a fucking row and banged Sheryl Crow, right? You're telling me this guy's not still a hero? Let me ask you this, person who wrote this fucking article. Huh? Let me ask you this. What about you? What have you ever fucking won that you're going to sit here and judge a guy like this? Didn't even fucking go to trial. And you're going to sit here and talk about this fucking guy like that, huh? What the fuck did you ever done, huh? Every one of your articles? You never cheated on any of your articles? You never cheated on your wife? You never cheated on your taxes? Go fuck yourself. Why is this bothering me so much? I don't even fucking know why it's bugging me. You know? You know what it is? If everybody else in the top 20 is doing the shit, they all got caught too. All right? Then it's a fucking level playing field. He's so much fucking better than those other guys. Not only did he win the race, you still couldn't even catch him. You couldn't catch him on a bike or in the fucking lab. All those other bozos who just sitting there staring at his ass the entire fucking race, they all got caught, right? Whatever. I'm trying. All right. There you go. 18 fucking minutes ranting and raving about a fucking bike race. All right. E-voice, everybody. Wouldn't it be great if you could start a business in your cubicle without your boss knowing about it? You know? Well, how could I do that, Bill? Well, with eVoice, basically your mobile phone, it becomes like you can, I don't know. Why don't I read the copy? I can't even explain this thing. It's so mind-blowing to an old guy like me. It's basically, you know, your cell phone, how you have one phone number and it rings. And in order to get that phone to ring, people have to know that number. Wouldn't it be great if you could have, like, I don't know, 5, 10 other numbers and that phone would ring and no one knew your real number? Wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be a great way to start a business. What if they actually had professional voiceover actors that when you didn't pick up the phone, it sounded like you had some sexy 007 secretary and you were in this the coolest office ever, yet it was just your cell phone? Huh? Let me tell you this. One of the great features of eVoice is everything I just said, and it has music on hold. Dude, they're creating this entire virtual office, virtual phone numbers, all of it. It doesn't even exist, man. This is the greatest thing ever. Makes your business seem even more professional as eVoice will treat your clients and customers to music on hold. You can even set up an eVoice to run promotional advertisements for your company while people are on hold instead of music. All of this lending to your credibility. as this wheeler and dealer sitting there smoking a stogie. eVoice also has the call recording feature, which is perfect for any doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, hiring managers, or any other professional discussing contracts. Easy to use, as you just press star 2 to start and star 2 to stop. That's it. Perfect if you're driving and can't write something important down. eVoice makes your life easier and seem more professional. For your free 6-month trial, go to www.evoice.com/Bill Burr, www.evoice.com/Bill Burr, or go to the banner ad on my podcast page at billburr.com. We actually had a listener raving about it, starting his own business on Twitter. Sent me a great tweet about it. I should really retweet that. But the people at eVoice were doing backflips. They were so excited that somebody actually used it and had the results that they claimed. So there you go. If you're trying to start your own business, all right. Back to the podcast. What else happened? Oh, the Red Sox. The Red Sox had a fire sale. I love it. I got to tell you this, I absolutely love it, okay? And I'm just equating the Red Sox basically to Van Halen. This is basically what happened. We had David Lee Roth. Everything was great. 2004, maybe 2007 after we won the second one. That's like 2004 to 2007. That was like Van Halen won all the way to 1984. All right, and then what happened? Tito left, David Lee left, and now we got Sammy Hagar. Now we just dumped all the players, so that to me is like Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony aren't in the band anymore, and now we got Gary Cherone. No, Gary Cherone's in. I don't know what to tell you. All I can tell you is this is what I love about this. What I love about my own team just shit in the bed the way that they do is I love the empty seats. I love it. I love seeing all the bandwagon go home, like the bandwagon pussies that I knew you were. You weren't there when we sucked. You showed up when we started getting good, and you rode it out like all those fucking cunts who fill up the stadium now every time the Patriots play a game. Where the fuck were you back when we had that shitty stadium with the aluminum seats? Where were you? Huh? You were nowhere. You were sitting at home drinking hot cocoa with your fucking slippers on. You know, and I know a lot of people right now are probably going to be going, yeah, because fucking Boston fans fucking suck. Fuck you. All right? Look at your own goddamn stadium. You want to see what your fan base is? If you really want to see the true fan base of your team, go to a game when they suck on any level. Hockey, basketball, baseball, football, rugby, fucking tiddlywinks, whatever it is. When your team sucks, and the people that go, those are the diehards. I can't believe there's already empty seats at Fenway Park after everything that that team's done for that city. Okay? We're only 11 months in. They've had an 11-month bad run. I was back there in Boston, all these fucking people crying, pissing, and moaning. Bunch of fucking babies. You know what the greatest thing about the bandwagon people leaving is? I think it ups the chance of that stupid song to be discontinued during the seventh inning stretch. Is there any way we can sell that song to the Dodgers too? Is there any way we can just get rid of that? Sweet Caroline, bum, bum, bum. Ugh. You know, if I was a dictator and I was looking to trim down the population, I would play that song in the public square with the banner of my face, you know, all around it. And I would play that, and whoever sang along, that would be it. The black van would show up to your fucking house, and you would be automatically signed up for my re-educational program, which basically involves your skull being used as a fucking lamppost. Sorry, that doesn't even make sense. Lampshade, maybe? I don't know what the fuck. What am I trying to say? A footstool. There you go. So I'm actually excited. I think it's a great fucking thing. I think it's great for the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry. You know, Red Sox suck so much that they now they don't have to fucking amp it up, that they're going to face each other. And then that can just, you know, back off for a little bit. And then maybe in a couple years it gets good again, you know, as opposed to be like, they're meeting again. 27 times this year. 200 million versus 180. Who gives a fuck? It's over. So I want to thank the Red Sox for fucking back to like all the way from 1999 on. I haven't had a fucking problem with you guys. It's been fucking an absolute joy to watch you play. All right? It's been fucking great. And now you're going through the rough times. And, you know, I'm still going to watch. I can't fucking wait to watch whatever the fuck is left of this team play in September. You know? I don't know why. Can you people in Boston do me a favor? Can we start a movement to start booing that fucking song during the seventh inning stretch? Can somebody start a website? Can somebody, okay? I'm lighting the match. Somebody go get the gas. Let's just go for a total clean slate here. All right? They're starting over again. For some reason, they're sticking with Bobby V. I don't know why. And for some reason, the more he goes out and yells at umpires, I'm actually starting to like the guy. All right? So he's on hold. But can we just get rid of that fucking song? You know, one of the great things I used to tease Yankee fans about was the fact that they sang YMCA during the seventh inning stretch, okay? I never understood why they did it. The legendary franchise that it is, you're singing this Village People song, and everybody in the stands is going, YMCA. Douchebags are. Not real Yankee fans. They're not doing it. They're fucking sitting there, you know. I don't know what they're doing. Pulling their hat down over their eyes. It's fucking embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Okay, but that's not my fucking problem. Can we please, as a Red Sox fan, who started watching back when they actually had red hats, that clown hat that they wore in the 70s. First game I went to was in 78, the summer of 78, by the way. Was it 78? Yeah, 78. Yeah, can we please, let's start with the song. Let's get rid of the song. This will be like a fan fire sale. We'll start with the song, and then next will be that fucking mascot. Okay? And I don't know where to go from there because I don't live there anymore. Those two fucking things annoy the shit out of me. Get that struggling actor out of that fucking suit. Okay? I hate mascots. I've said this before. I hate when you talk to them when there's no kids around and they still won't say anything. And you're like, hey, what's going on? And they do that fucking, you know, I smoke crystal meth, fucking psycho nod at you. You know, it's insulting. I know you're in there. Anyways, this is such a weird fucking podcast so far. I'm just going to go off on shit this week, and then I'm just going to read advertising. Huh? Does that work for you guys? LegalZoom, everybody. LegalZoom. Would you like to get incorporated? Would you like to write out a will? Would you like to copyright something that you invented? And you don't want some big corporation to steal it from you. You don't want your eggs to start having the aftertaste of almonds. Would you like to avoid that? All right. LegalZoom.com. You've probably heard about LegalZoom. If you're on YouTube, they have all kinds of ads on there. But now I am telling you about them. So you got to check these guys out because they're great. All right. If you've been waiting for the perfect time to start your own business, it's right now. It's time to get out of the cubicle. Okay? Incorporate your business or form an LLC at LegalZoom.com starting at just $99. I paid $1,500. I went the SAP route. You can do it yourself for $99. And if you have a family, guess what? You need to make sure that they're protected. You can protect your family and assets with a LegalZoom will for just $69. $99, you're incorporated. $69, everyone you love is taken care of, is protected. You know, you're still under $200. All right, go down to Aldo's, get yourself a pair of loafers. In the past 12 years, do they ever feel good, those Aldo shoes? How long? How many days do you have to go getting the blisters before you ever broke those in? In the past 12 years, over 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom for LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks, and more. They save hundreds, even thousands of dollars versus going the traditional lawyer route. lawyer route. LegalZoom's online process guides you step by step, and you get a total customer support. It couldn't be much easier. They even have an attorney to help you if you need to get through any of their legal stuff. Start your business and protect your family today at LegalZoom.com. You also get a special discount from listening to this podcast. Make sure you enter Burr, B-U-R-R, in the referral box at the checkout for more savings. LegalZoom is not a law firm, and self-help services are provided at your discretion, your direction, sorry. All right, so if you get confused, don't just sit there and wait for a lawyer to help you out. You call them up, and they're going to help you, okay? There you go. Back to the podcast. All right, so see my dog. My dog is so adorable. Just laying there sleeping. You want to hear how she sounds when she's sleeping? You know what? I'm not going to, because I'm going to put the microphone up to her nose. And all it's going to do is going to wake her up. And you guys are not going to see how adorable she is, because this is not a visual medium, in case you haven't noticed. So all I'm really going to do is just wake her up. Anyways, I've been off this whole week. I'm off next week. And then it's fucking on. I'm touring like a goddamn band. Speaking of which, I saw Truth and Salvage Company at the Troubadour on Friday night. And if you get a chance to see those guys live, if you're sick of auto-tune and a bunch of people acting like they're singing, but they're not singing because they got to do a bunch of dance steps, if you would just like to see a band of talented musicians, everybody in the band can sing their asses off. It's everything that's great about music. First of all, I've never been to the Troubadour, and I always heard about that, obviously, being a Guns N' Roses fan. So before I went over there, look it up on Wikipedia. I'll try to give you a link or something like that for it. But just the amount of people that started out there, you know, it just was mind-blowing. All those singer-songwriter people that were out in L.A. and lived in Laurel Canyon, the Joni Mitchells, the James Taylors, all the way through, right through to, who else did they have there? I can't remember. It was just a who's who of everybody. And then Guns N' Roses, of course, performed there back when Axl had like 2 tattoos. They got all the pictures on the wall. So I was psyched to go there. I thought it was going to be this huge place. It only held like maybe 350 people, really intimate setting. And I went down there and they absolutely smashed it. And they're actually out here recording a new album. Truth and Salvage Company. Check them out if you like real music. All right? And that wasn't a paid advertisement. That came from the fucking heart. All right, here we go. So anyways, I am on the road traveling like a band. All right? Not this pussy comedy shit where it's 1 week and then I sit at home staring at my toes and then maybe I'll do another 2 days. This is hardcore. I am traveling, I believe, for the next fucking 6 weeks maybe. Every weekend I'm working. All right? Here we go. Orlando Improv, September 7th, 8th, and 9th. You know, I was going to try to go to a Gators game. Florida Gators, right? Drive up and go to a game. Of course, they're fucking not playing. Sons of bitches. Is there anything else near there? The Seminoles? Where the fuck do they play? I got to see some Florida college football when I'm there. I'm in Orlando. If you can recommend something, let me know. Bill@BillBird.com. All right, Comedy Zone, Charlotte, North Carolina, September 13th, 14th, and 15th. And then my triumphant return. I love saying that. I'm just coming back to New York, but I call it my triumphant return, as if I went off and conquered something. Actually, this is the rescheduled date, the Caroline's date, September 20th, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. I will be working with the one and only teen idol sensation from the Opie and Anthony radio program, Joey Rose's Joe DeRosa will be there, loaning his headlining services, okay, to be a feature act, something he doesn't do. He's just doing it for a pal, something he's way beyond. This guy sold millions of records, everybody. Millions of Joey Rose's fans cannot be wrong. He's going to be in the feature act. And opening is one of my new favorite comics out there is this kid, Sean Patton. He's fucking awesome. So that's going to be a great show. All right? And then the week after that, I'm going to be at the Comedy Zone in Jacksonville, Florida. Okay? How about a little pause here and a round of applause for the amount of white trash people I am going to be serving and dancing for in fucking September. Orlando, Florida. Who goes there unless you're going to Disney World? Nobody. Maybe if you're a whore and you want to blow Tiger Woods. I don't know. Right? Comedy Zone, Charlotte, North Carolina. And then after that, I'm in 2 weeks later, I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. Okay? Am I doing stand-up or am I got a reoccurring role on Eastbound and Down? Okay, you tell me. There should be a jet ski at the end of this fucking tour. That's all I'm saying. After that, I go to Go Bananas in Cincinnati, Ohio. All right? Cincinnati is one of those cities that even people in Cincinnati don't go to. They leave. It's one of those cities right at 5 o'clock, everybody leaves. Zombie fucking town. Just like Cleveland, just like Buffalo, just like all of those fucking Rust Belt goddamn towns. People just leave. And I'm sitting there walking down the street. It's scary. But I'm going to be there at Go Bananas. Then after that, I go to fucking Sydney, Australia. Hopefully, I go to Sydney, Australia. They're fucking breaking my balls with all this shit they want me to give them. So, I actually set this tour up because I thought my special was going to be coming out October 1st, but the people at Netflix were so damn excited. They're such great people. They're like, Bill, why don't we put it out now? What are we waiting for? I said, okay. Right? So now I got all these fucking back-to-back dates to put together my new hour. So please come down. Say hello. Laugh at a couple of jokes. Two for one. Joey Roses. Telling you. One of you in his final engagement as a feature act. All right. What else do we got here? Did I tell you guys I'm trying to learn how to make homemade pizza? How bad do I need to just have a fucking kid already? How many more hobbies can I start? Oh, look who's up. It's Cleo. Come here, buddy. Come here. Come over here. Come over here. You know, all fucking day long, you've been coming over here being all needy. And the one time I call you, when the goddamn microphone's on, you won't come over, right? I know I always use this reference, but it's like that goddamn frog. Right? Remember he was singing for that construction worker in that cartoon? Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Right? Then he'd go to show it to people, and he'd just go, brrr. I'm trying to learn how to make pizza. If anybody has a good recipe for a sauce, because that's what it's all about, that and the fucking crust. All right? I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about anymore. Let's plow ahead here. What else have I written down here that I want to talk about? Bombing. Oh, Jesus. I ate my balls at the Comedy Store Saturday night, just for like the first like minute and a half. Because you know what I was doing? I was opening with the bit that's on my new special that I opened with, the fact I was talking about wanting to get a gun. So I just kind of, you know, had always been opening with that. And now that my special's out there, I'm so delusional, I just automatically assume that everyone who's ever going to go to a comedy club, my dog needs a bath. I hear it itching. Cleo, enough. Come here. Get over here. So anyways, I've been... Sorry, I got to give her the old neck scratch here. There you go. There you go, you motherfucker. Get out of here. So I've been opening with that. So then I was like, well, it's been on... Once it's on TV, I gotta dump the joke. So I had this weird thing where I was going out there and I knew everything that I was going to talk about. I just didn't know what I was going to open with. So I was like, yeah, I'll just fucking, I don't know. And I wasn't feeling funny. And it was a long 2-3 minutes before I kind of got it going. And then I was like, it just wasn't clicking for me. And it really wasn't even a part of like building a new hour. It just had to do with the fact that I haven't been on stage for a minute. And it's just like going to the gym. I was getting winded. Cleo, are you going to fucking scratch for the rest of the podcast? You need a bath. You know that? You need a bath. Go back to sleep. You were doing great. This fucking dog, I swear to God, this thing, it sleeps like 20 hours a day. You know, all this shit that they say about pit bulls being vicious and that type of thing. I don't know when they do it. All you really have to do if you get a dog is just watch it for that critical 4 hours when it's awake. and you're gonna you're fine. All right, let's get to a goddamn question here. Advice: exotic pets. Bill, last week I was laid off from my office cubicle job of 4 years. I am now a 25-year-old unemployed college student struggling to make rent. Ah, Jesus. My heart goes out to you, brother. But at least you're 25. You're not fucking married. You don't have any kids. That's the bright side. And I know you don't need to hear that. All right? All right, here we go. Can't go back to my parents as they are halfway across the planet in Taiwan. Now my question is, do I continue trying to get back in the rat race, or do I follow my dream of becoming an exotic pet reptile breeder? Jesus Christ, how the fuck do I, are you just fucking with me? This is your dream? Well, you know what? You are from Taiwan. I imagine everything that's considered exotic over here is like nothing. You know? I bet over in Taiwan, instead of getting like a bicycle as a 4-year-old, they give you like a defanged cobra or some shit. I'm sorry. I just had to stop and laugh at the ignorance of that statement. anyways, I have no experience in the field. Fantastic. You're going to be on Spike TV's A Thousand Ways to Die. I have no experience in the field except for that I have a snake and 4 hamsters as pets. All right, dude, I don't want to burst your bubble, but there's nothing exotic about hamsters, even if you have 4 or 4. Sorry, I started the new fucking Rosetta Stone Spanish again. Yo tengo un perro, es gris y blanco. Pero es bueno, es loco. Hey, loco, however the fuck you say it. My dog's out of its mind. La mujer. A manzana verde. Let's get back to this shit. I think I just said the woman and then green apple. There's really nothing that connected either one of those. Go fuck yourself. I'm going to do it. Some point in my life, I'm going to become bilingual. So anyways, this dude wants to start raising exotic pets, breeding them. He has no experience. Now, what kind of fucking snake do you have? You know, if you have a gardener snake, I guess you got to start somewhere. You do have a reptile and 4 little rat things. This is cool, dude. You know what you're doing? You're doing like the open mics of this. I get it. You've got to start slow. You can't start right with the black mamba. You're going to get yourself killed. Anyways, he said, I've been to the Reptile Expo a couple of times and saw that vendors there just breed and sell snakes for a living and thought to myself, holy shit, I want to do that. Encourage animals to bang and sell the offspring. All from my own apartment, living the dream. What to do? Any advice? What gave you the balls to start stand up? Understanding the opportunity cost of the income of a full-time job. Any advice would help. Thanks, Mr. Burr. All right. What do you do here? Well, dude, you're doing the right thing. You basically, like, you go into one of those reptile expos and looking at the douchebags doing it and being like, I could fucking do that, was like me when I used to watch some of those stand-up shows and be like, I'm funnier than this guy. All right? And you have the luxury of not having a job right now, so you don't have to worry about, you know, well, what if this interferes with my job? You don't have a fucking job. Your biggest thing right now, dude, is you need income. All right? So I would continue looking for a job that is flexible. All right, while you start building your stockpile of reptiles. First thing I would do is I would go on the internet and I would read as much as humanly possible. I would go to howtomake2snakesfuck.com. I would start. I don't know what to tell you, dude. I would just keep going to those expos like they're open mics. I would keep reading up on it. I would try and find. This is what you do. Act like you want to buy a fucking snake and go to some fucking dude and ask them how they got into the business as you pretend like, you know, like you're browsing. And maybe you can get a job working for one of those guys. You figure out what the fuck he's doing, right? You pull a Joe Kennedy that I've learned reading in the wonderful book, The Sins of the Father. Yeah, that guy used to work every place. He'd work at a place for like 7 months to 2 years. He'd rifle through all the files, get all this insider information, make a boatload of cash, and leave the fucking company in the shitter. Okay? Now, I'm not saying to do that, but fucking work for these other guys. Figure out what they're doing. Do what they're doing. Become better at it. That's what I would do. If you really want to do this shit, I would. But I got to tell you this, man. I don't know how you make two pit vipers fuck each other. But I would definitely get a... I don't know. I'd get a thick pair of gloves. How do reptiles even get turned on? They just have that fucking look on their face like you don't know what they're thinking. You know, I tell you, if snakes had fucking hands, like they would win World Series of Poker every year. There'd be no fucking way to tell what it had. Is it holding shit? Is it got a full house? I can't fucking just sit there sticking his tongue out of me. Should I go? Bill, I need your help. Obviously, I must have some real issues to be seeking advice from a stand-up comedian, but here goes. You know what, dude? That's one of the truest things that's ever been said. Anyways, you know something? I was talking to Bobby Lee this weekend, who I'm going to have on the podcast. I love the guy to death. And he said a couple really nice things to me and when we were backstage. And as I went to return the compliments, he literally imploded and ran out of the room. Just at the thought of hearing me say something nice about him. And I just laughed because he was making a joke about it, but he seriously left and slammed the door as I was mid complimenting him and left me in this room by myself. And I just laughed out loud to myself and just said, fucking comedians. So, sir, you're 100% right to sit there and to seek advice from a stand-up comedian. You got to be out of your mind, but this advice is free. Here we go. A couple years ago, I decided to travel the world, he says, due to boredom, or she says, who the fuck knows, due to boredom and just a general feeling of unhappiness. Well, that's a good thing to do. I needed to get away. Everything went great from there. I met so many good people, enjoyed my time in other countries, and ended up feeling so much better in the end. Yeah, dude, you had an adventure. He said, I recently decided to go home for a visit before continuing on, and it ended up in a disaster. Oh, so you were still traveling the world and you decided to go home, or you were back in the States and decided to go to your hometown? I don't know. Either way, you went home from wherever the hell you were at. My parents were fighting. Most of my friends had either changed or left, and it turned out to be a real shitty time for me. The question is, am I wrong to want to travel still? I am leaving again straight away, and most people I know are making me feel terrible that I want to leave. It's nothing personal. I just don't feel happy here, and I really miss the friends that I made in other places. Should I make the people feel bad, or is it time to tell them to suck a big fat one? Oh, should I let people make me feel bad, or is it time to tell them to suck the big fat one? Dude, you're following your heart. It's a great story. You should go for it. And you learned the awful lesson that everybody has to learn is that you can never go home. Okay? Because people move on, people change. You walk into that bar and you're not going to see anybody that you know anymore. And if you do, they're going to be a lot fatter and a lot sadder. Something awful is going to happen. You know, they ruptured their spleen. You just don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. You know? So, go live your life. The reason why you feel happy when you're out there traveling, I feel, is because you're following your heart. You're listening to that voice that's telling you what to do. You go back to that town, everybody's negative, people are fighting. Of course they don't want you to leave. They don't want you to make something of yourself because they're still sitting there sipping on a fucking Miller. So yeah, you don't have to tell them to suck a big fat one. You just be like, you know, this is what I want to do. And then just send them cards from all over the world. And that'll make them even more angry as they sit there watching you get blown in Venice on one of those fucking boats with that dude in the striped shirt. He's not blowing you, of course. It's some other chick with a mole right above her lip. And he's sitting there singing a song trying to drown out the sound of her sucking your dick. That's basically how it goes down. Is that a good picture? You know? Hey, you know what? Why don't you fucking go travel, go buy some exotic snakes and sell them to that other dude who's trying to sell his, start his business. Then you take the money that you made, right? And you fucking use that to travel more. See that? Connecting via the podcast. All right, we got a fat fuck redemption. We got a redemption here. This is a nice shout out to Tosh.0. This guy's obviously a Tosh.0 fan. I'm not trying to steal anything from that show. Fat fuck redemption. Bill, I'm a 35-year-old guy, and I've been a big fat fuck for most of my life. Well, you know what, sir? The first step is admitting it. The fact that you can call yourself a big fat fuck, you know? It's like me when I go through my periods when I know I need to quit drinking. It's what I say to myself. Oh, Billy Fat again. Big fucking stupid fucking head full of booze. Big John Travolta fucking head loser. Stop your drinking. That's what I do. Or else I won't listen to myself. Has this podcast gone off the rails? I feel like I can't even think right now. Anyways, I developed an amazing set of breasts at the tender age of 13. All right, this is a guy. I just had to look at the name. That still puts both of my sister's racks to shame. 420 pounds was my heaviest, but I am also 6'7" and built like and built like the Irish Sasquatch, so I carry it pretty well. You see what I'm saying? This is why this guy's so funny. He grew tits at 13. He's 6'7". He's 420 pounds. There's no way to not look like that and not be a funny motherfucker. About 10 years ago, I dropped 150 pounds through diet and exercise. I had a whole new life, new career, beautiful women, the whole shebang. I had a good seven-year run. Yeah, dude, that's great, man. 7 years. You're a funny motherfucker. You're 6'7". They probably feel like they're being held by a big bear. You make them feel safe. The next thing you know, they're fucking you. I totally see it. Totally see it. So anyways, he says, so here's my dilemma. About 3 years ago, I got off the track and put a lot of the weight back on and haven't had a girlfriend the whole time, mostly by choice. Ah, you went into some self-loathing thing. I'm back in the groove now, dropping the weight and getting healthy again. I want to settle down and start something serious with the woman of my dreams, but I still have about 50, 60 pounds to work off. In a perfect world, it would be all about inner beauty and personality and shit, but let's be realistic. A smart, talented, good-looking, health-conscious woman is just not going to settle for a dude who is swinging around bigger tits than her. You know what, dude? Personality goes a long way, but you're 100% right when you're talking about the man tits. You got to get rid of them. He says, I suck at casual dating, and I tend to get sucked into long-term relationships very easily. So my question is, do I wait till I'm in the prime shape again before I start getting serious with anyone? I'm not trying to be perfect, but I'm not looking for perfection, but I just want to be smart about it. What do you think about there, Bricktop? All right. You have to learn how to... Not only are you losing weight, but you got to learn how to date, dude. All right? You've addressed that you're a fat fuck, and you're dealing with that. You also got to address that you're codependent, and you're fucking lonely. All right? And it sucks. If you're codependent, you're a relationship guy. So it's very easy for you to get sucked into relationships. But, you know, you can't take the first thing that comes down the pike. So what you this is the deal. You so know that you get sucked into a relationship. This is what I think. That you're like, all right, so if I'm going to get sucked into a relationship, I have to look the best that I can possibly look. So when I do get sucked into a relationship, I got a fucking, you know, top shelf girl that I'm doing it with. I don't know. I don't think that that's going to work personally. I think you need to learn how to date. Just go out and start dating. And why don't you say that? I would say that on the date. So where's this going? Just be like, you know what? I'm in a period in my life when I'm trying to learn how to date. What does that mean? It means that I'm a relationship guy, and I tend to get sucked into relationships. And next thing you know, I'm in a relationship with someone I should have just had one or two dates with. So, you know, I'm not trying to be, I'm just being upfront. That's where I'm at right now. So I have a list of questions, and judging by your answers, will depend if there's going to be date number two. You don't have to say that last part, but definitely you gotta come at it that way, man. Just come right out of the gate like that. You know something? You'll get some fucking ass, even with your goddamn tits talking like that. You walk into a bar, right? You sit there. You already got a sense of humor. You make them fucking laugh. Some girl's eventually going to come walking up to you, some mess, or maybe some fucking borderline cutie. They're insecure too, you know? Maybe they don't like their fucking ass. Who knows what, right? They come walking up to you. Say, what's your deal? What are you doing just sitting here? You know, and you just start talking about, there's nothing a fucking broad likes better than some fucking guy who's sitting there who's actually taking stock in himself, who seems like he's going to start taking life seriously, okay? Because they look at us and they see us for the morons that we are, led by our dicks, playing in mud puddles, breaking shit, acting like a bunch of fucking gorillas. So when they see somebody who's actually sitting there contemplating about where the fuck they're going in life and what they want, they're attracted to it. Not to mention you're 6'7", they're going to feel safe. And then they got to be wondering, well, is his dick 5'7"? Right? So you just hit him with that line. What are you doing? I'm trying to figure life out. I have to learn how to date. And they'll be all over it. What do you mean? Dating's easy. You should have fun. Next thing you know, her fucking hands on your thigh. Right? Couple of limes in the Coronas, and next thing you know, whatever. All right. Hey, that's what I hope happens for you. All right. The last one here before I wrap up the podcast here. Do I have any other fucking average? Let's fucking try to. I know you guys don't like listening to all these fucking ads, but I got to do them here. All right. Amazon.com. Would you like to fucking support this podcast and the Wounded Warriors Project? Well, this is all you got to do. Go to BillBird.com, click on the podcast page, and then click on the banner ad, the Amazon banner ad. Will take you right to Amazon. You don't have to do anything like that. Go on there. Go buy yourself a drum stool or a fucking ladle, whatever you want to do. Amazon kicks me a percentage of whatever you spent, and then I take 10% basically of all the advertising that I have on this, and I kick it over to the Wounded Warriors Project. So you'd be help supporting this project and the troops. All right? Can you get any better than that? I don't think you can. But I'll tell you what's a close second. Gamefly.com. Oh, what a segue. What a professional. Basically, go to the banner ad once again on BillBird.com on the podcast page, and you click on the banner for your free two-disc, two-week free trial, $23 value. Over 40 people did that last month, so thank you very much for that, and hopefully you will enjoy the service. If you want a free two-week trial, go to www.gamefly.com/burr or their banner on my podcast page for your free trial and enjoy all the video games you can play. 8,000 video games, a free two-week trial. You're out of your mind. Go buy a big bag of Doritos and a 12-pack of your favorite soda because you got 8,000 games to play, mister or ma'am. Is there anything hotter than a fucking chick that likes to play video games, you know, like those violent ones? I don't even know what they're called anymore. I had to wean myself off of them. Halo and that type of stuff. I don't know. I think it's cool. All right, the last one here. I don't even know if this one's true, guys. I hope this is true. I don't know. But this seems too true, too unbelievable to be true. This is called Threesome. It says, Dear Bill, I was a virgin who never wrote in, but listen to you respond to other virgins who wrote in. I am 19, not exactly old, but who wants to break 20 before blowing your load in a teenage girl? The remarkable part is that I had a threesome to kick off my new life as not a virgin. See that? This guy's trying to make me believe that right out of the gate. I mean, it can happen. People get called up from the minors their first fucking time, you know, they hit for the fucking cycle. They throw a perfect game. It can happen, but I'm reading this one with a grain of salt. I don't know if this is a listener fucking with me or what, but here we go. He said, I met this girl. Let's see how believable this sounds. All right, then we'll take a vote whether you believe this or not. I hope it's true. Anyways, I met this girl at the beach last summer and ran into her again sometime in July. She was being very flirty and kept talking about her summer bucket list. She said her and her friend had the same goal. I thought they meant that they separately wanted to get deflowered, not thinking that, hey, everyone is probably getting laid. I figured we were all on the same page. Oh, so you thought that they were both virgins. So a week back, I invite her to a party my friend was having. She brings her friend, and her friend is hotter. I start working on her because I'm drunk and on a roll, and I'm going for broke. Good for you. Good for you. In fact, at one point, another dude came in to interrupt the conversation, and I gave him a whoa. You gotta raise your hand. What does that mean? You got to raise your hand to come into the conversation. Jesus Christ, this kid took his Fonzie pills. He raised his hand, and I called him a clown. Everyone laughed. What a fucking idiot. He did that? Anyways, why wouldn't I think this girl wanted to bang? Wait a minute, dude. How are you this fucking cool and you never got any ass before? This doesn't make any sense. You're coming off like Billy Ray Valentine here. Anyways, well, it turns out her and her friends wanted to have a threesome. I realized this when they both told me flat out that they wanted to. I went for it, Bill. I didn't really know what I was doing for the first 10 seconds or so, but after that, it just all made sense, like when Neo saw The Matrix. I couldn't have done it without the podcast. Now, let me ask you this. Do you guys believe that? I didn't know what I was doing for the first 10 seconds, and then all of a sudden you understood. But then he makes a reference to Neo in The Matrix, which is something that a fucking nerd would do. I don't know. It's a hell of a story. I hope it's true. It just doesn't make sense. You're a fucking virgin. You get a threesome the first time without paying for it. You know? You're a fucking virgin, but you have the bitch. You're making the move of a guy who's gotten laid where you go for the even hotter one. And then you stop the guy from cock blocking you. You know, I mean, unless you're in absolute, you're the fucking the natural. There's no way. How do you have all these skills that you never got laid before? I'm calling bullshit on this one. I hope it's true. I hope it's true. I really do. And if it is true, I want to know what the fuck you were drinking. All right. Is that the podcast? I don't know if it is. Wait. Stamps.com. I forgot Stamps.com, everybody. Stamps.com. If you would like to stop going to the post office, wouldn't it be great if you could stop going there, yet be able to do everything that you could do at the post office within your own place of where you live? Print stamps, have your own scale, weigh packages, be able to run off little metered, whatever the hell a box costs. Sorry, I don't have the copy. I think I have it memorized at this point. Go to stamps.com/burr. Type in burr for your free 2-week trial of stamps.com. You know the deal. You guys listen to this stuff every week. You don't have to go to the post office anymore. You just go to stamps.com. You can print out legal postage. You get your own scale. It's wonderful. I send out all my DVDs. That whole month of touring that I have, I'm not going to the post office month. I'm going to send out all of my DVDs using stamps.com. All right, so there you go. That is the podcast for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for going to Amazon, helping me, helping out the Wounded Warriors Project. It's one of the few, like, wholesome things that I do in my life. So that's it. Is that how we're going to go out? Do I not have anything else to talk about? I'm going to end on a damn commercial. Well, I did say thank you. I am over the hour. I've done my goddamn time here. Oh, my battery's down to one little cell there. All right, so it's going to wipe out anyways. All right, so that's it. Please come out and see me in Orlando, Florida, Charlotte, North Carolina, New York City, Jacksonville, Florida, Cincinnati, Sydney, Australia. I'm going to be on the Night of Too Many Stars in New York City. And what else do I don't know what else I got coming up. That's going to be me the next 6 weeks. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. I'm going to all the white trash fucking cities. So bring your tattooed titties and your stupid fucking boyfriend. Pull up in your truck with the steel nuts hanging off the back. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week.